not adjust your cell phones. This is not the year 2013. No, it is 2022, and it is a brand new episode of the Press Row Podcast featuring the one and only Pasta Padre, Mr. Brian Wiedeye. Brian, how are you, my friend?
Doing pretty good. Happy to be back, Rich. We haven't talked in a while, but there's a lot to get to, and having a bit of a reunion here is pretty exciting.
Yes.
Very, very fun, and it's that time of year where things really kick off, so I'm excited to get to chat again.
Because not only is it me, and is it you, Brian, but it is our great friend, Mr. Owen Good from Polygon. Owen, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for asking, Rich. It's great to be back on the show. Yes, it has a long and rich history, and the good reason for that is, or the reason I'm happy to be back is it reminds me of the before times.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's just like, you know, in fact, I don't think I've used Skype since we did, since I was on the show the last time. You know, everything's Zoom now.
Yeah.
If you remember, we also did all those Google Hangouts, the video ones.
Did we? Yes.
Yeah.
Is that even still a thing? I don't know.
I don't know. Everything is so different in every possible way. Not only are sports games completely different than, for example, in August of 2013, when we had the famous Madden NFL 25 review roundtable with not only the three of us, but also Sumit Sarkar, Mike Suzik, and Rachel Sanner. But, I mean, that's going back to August of 2013. But then if you go back to, you know, we're talking October 2012, right? That's when Owen was on the show originally in those days, in September of 2012 and October. And then Brian, you know, after you ended your boycott and you started joining us on a regular basis in 2013, I mean, we used to do this every single week, and we would have incredible conversations, and we would have incredible, you know, predictions and reviews and analysis. And here we are so many years later, and, you know, Owen is the one who is still out there as a critic and as a member of the press and doing his thing. Owen, first of all, that's amazing. And second of all, how is that going? Like being a sports video game, not a reporter because you do a lot, but talking about sports video games as a member of the press in 2022 is incredibly different than it was when you were kicking this thing around, you know, 10, 15 years ago, right?
Well, yeah. And I mean, it's just times change, you know. I think, you know, we were the influencers, for lack of a better word, about 10 years ago. And then, you know, the real influencers stepped up to the plate. I think it's easier for publishers to engage with them sometimes than it is to engage with traditional press who want to do traditional things like, you know, interviews and features and stuff that takes a lot of time for, in these days, not a lot of return on investment in a lot of those marketers' eyes. And I don't begrudge anybody any of this, by the way. It's just the way the world works now. So, you know, and my publication, Polygon, has had to adapt to that as well, has had to find what it is that people want to read about, what's going to capture their attention. Because, you know, again, the traditional bloggy approach in which we were all raised, that doesn't cut the mustard anymore. So it just, you know, life's all about making adjustments, and I've managed to hang on. And I mean, it's one of these things where I kind of regret the fact that I can't come up with a sports column, you know, every week like I used to. And the thing is, you know, at Kotaku a decade ago, I remember I would keep a running list of just evergreen sports column ideas. And the problem is at some point I sort of like wrote about everything, you know, all of the, I wonder how they do that, those kinds of stories. And I felt like I was repeating myself a lot. And I think that also is somewhat the nature of iterative sports development, which is, you know, you say a lot of the same things every year. I know I get criticism fatigue sometimes trying to come up with some new way to talk about an iterative sports title that isn't doing something like NBA 2K, which I'm glad we'll be getting around to that later on in the show, because they really are, you know, throwing a lot in the kitchen sink this year. But, you know, just it's time goes on. And, you know, as our patron saint in Raleigh says, Jimmy V, survive in advance.
Meanwhile, Brian, you have adjusted by just quitting everything, just not doing anything anymore. How is that going for you, my friend?
Well, I'll tell you. So going back to, I think it was about 2004 when I started covering sports video games regularly, and it's more than just someone who plays them. And at the time it was, you know, there were many different publishers and developers and many different sports games. Every sport had competition. Sports games were releasing throughout the year. And, you know, that obviously started to change with exclusivity and lawsuits and just the need to focus more on digital revenue and sales kind of moving to the side a little bit, but that killing off certain sports games along the way. And then really it became a very difficult environment to have successful sports games. And you had the rise of the Ultimate Team and digital revenue sources kind of driving the way these games were built. And it pushed everything out except for the main, like basically big four games. And so over time, yes, these games improve generally year to year. But man, I can't keep writing about the same thing every year. The same the games generally are not really innovating anymore. I think they peaked in the mid teens, and reviews kind of reflect that also. Madden 16, NBA 2K16, MLB The Show, anywhere between 15 and 18. It's interesting to see where maybe diminishing returns from not just the games themselves, but the generations of consoles have taken us. And we're at this point now where it feels like a low point. But there is the potential that we see a rise again.
You want to get into this right now? Like, you want to start right away by saying we're at a low point? I couldn't disagree more. Sports video games are so varied and so good right now. If you had showed me in 2013 what I'd be playing right now, I would have been delighted. MLB The Show looks spectacular. Madden is, you know, for compared to what it looked like 10 years ago and what you could do in that game 10 years ago, completely different. NBA 2K is a phenomenon. It might be the best video game in the world. Like, we're not going to get into it right now, but I just want to be clear, Brian. I strongly disagree with your sentiment. Now, I agree with some of the things you're saying. But as somebody who now plays sports games much more as a fan than ever, I am not only happy with the quality of the sports video games, but I am even more happy about the fact that if I don't need to play on the first day of the year, and even sometimes even if I do, I don't even have to buy any of these games, and I get to play them. So this is why we can't do the show that much more anymore, because then it would just be Brian, you and I having the same argument every single week, right?
If I could step in on this, you know, I agree with Brian in part, I concur in part, and I dissent in part, but I think, Like where the games have changed and grown like remarkably better is in just the depth of experience that they offer. I mean, these are games where if you were a basketball super fan, football super fan, you could go 6 months without buying another video game and just play all of these and really have a varied experience throughout all of its modes. You know, so much more than the games were. Even in that sweet spot that Brian was talking about. Now, the devil that you have to pay there, of course, is, you know, everything's microtransacted to hell, or at least there's all kinds of come-ons to that. But, you know, if you really are, you know, paying attention in like Diamond Dynasty, Or in Madden, which now has all of these programs and missions, you can pick up a lot of good free content just playing. You know, there's still the lure of, you know, I'm going to pay to make my team, you know, fantastic, and I'm going to put, you know, them in my favorite jerseys and all that other stuff. And if you want to spend your money on that, go ahead. But, you know, where I think the sports video games haven't, like, held up their end of the business, it's that wow every year of, like, man. And again, Brian, this is where I agree with you. It's like, there's no real breakthrough. And I think that's why NBA 2K this year is standing out with the Jordan Challenge and with the wholesale integration of what was NBA's greatest into my NBA, which is a mode. I mean, how many times are we saying year after year, they're not doing anything for franchise, they're not doing it, and not just an NBA 2K.
But those are all wrong. Those are all wrong statements, Owen. Well, I'm telling you. They're misguided at best, and flat wrong at worst.
Well, they're even more flat wrong when it comes to NBA this year. I mean, assuming that the mode isn't broken, and I hope it's not. But, you know, they are talking about, obviously, an historical franchise, you know, that you could start in 1983 if you wanted, which is something that has been like a blue sky goal of developers. I know, I mean, talking to folks who have worked for EA Sports, and elsewhere, you know, like, yes, it'd be great to do a fully historical franchise mode. And now 2K is going to put its toe in the pool and see how it does. So maybe we can get a little bit of that Holy Toledo pizzazz, you know, that it really is a different game, or it's a landmark edition that you're going to keep on your shelf, although nobody puts anything on their shelf now because they all buy digitally. So it's like they are much deeper experiences. But I think whether because the audience has been spoiled or just because of the iterative nature and you have a point of diminishing returns when you're talking about the realism that you can present, whether it's in a trade logic engine or whether it's in, you know, soccer dribbling. It does feel like the same thing year after year after year.
Well, for my money, the narrative of sports video games are the same thing every year versus the reality is probably one of the biggest gaps in any sort of narrative versus reality. But that's all right. We've had this conversation plenty of times. Let's talk about what's happening right now. And one of the great things about this podcast is after probably the first 2 years, we stopped any semblance of preparation. And we did that again this time. So I imagine the three of us, well, I know I'm playing Madden. I imagine, Owen, that you're playing Madden. I don't know, Brian, whether you are. But I know even if you are at all, I believe all three of us are playing three different ways in the brand new Madden NFL 23, right? If I have that right, right? So I'm going to quickly start with me before I go to Brian, to then Owen and then Brian. So my experience to this point with Madden NFL 23 is I have completed a complete season in franchise mode via the 10-hour free experience offered by EA Play via Xbox Game Pass. I'm trying to make sure I get all of my services properly mentioned here.
Yep, you got it. You got it.
Cool. And I have the way that I played my franchise because I wanted to see the way that I want to play the game, generally speaking, could I have a good experience in 10 hours or less? And the answer is the way I played it, which was I played offense only for an entire season and playoffs. And the answer was yes. And I still got like 3 hours left and I wasn't rushing. When I play offline, I prefer to play mostly offense only, although when it gets to later in the game, I'll then typically go back to playing the full game. And I'm also going to be back in the online league, Brian, where you're going to continue to your reign of terror over all of those in the fourth string football league. So I'm going.
I no longer have you, Rich, to beat up on in my division.
You'll have me back, not in your division, but you'll have me back to beat up. You know, we'll see if
you're in the other conference. You ran.
I know. I did. I ran. Yes, I did, and I freely admit that I ran. And I went and asked for one of the best teams in the league because that's my only chance to win like three games, right? So, but I got through an entire season, played on All Pro with the Eagles, offense only, mostly. And I managed to make it all the way to the Super Bowl and to have I was down with like 20 seconds left in the fourth quarter. I was down 24-21 and I had no timeouts left. And I threw the ball and completed it and to A.J. Brown, and he got tackled at the one, and time ran out, and I lost the Super Bowl to the Chiefs 24-21. Now, I thoroughly enjoyed my experience. I feel like for someone like me who is a regular player of Madden, I felt good about the overall offense. Obviously, I played mostly offense. I felt good about running. You know, Brian, I love to run. I love to get behind a big old offensive line, and the Eagles, on paper, have a good offensive line. I learned how to use Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and Dallas Goedert and Miles Sanders. Like, I developed a good relationship with all of those guys, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It wasn't perfect, but, man, I tell you, I had fun. I had fun the whole time, and to me, being able to do all of that in a 10-hour experience without having to buy the game is an example of something really great that fans can experience, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, again, I'm not trying to say that it's perfect or anything, but I'd be lying if I didn't say I really had a good time, and of course, I am going to wind up buying the game because of our league, but I just, before I made that absolute purchase commitment, I wanted to get a lot out of it, and I did. And I'm curious what your experience with the new Madden has been to this point.
Well, in the review, I was trying to take a look at a little bit of everything, obviously. But since then, it's been face of the franchise, which isn't, you know, they have cut a lot of the malarkey out of that, thankfully. It's still not – some of the scenes, it still sort of boggles my mind how NBA 2K's my career – scenes and acting could be so good and these could be so wooden, but at least it's not like what we got in Madden 21, for example, nor last year. But this is because, Face of the Franchise and Ultimate Team. And I like Ultimate Team because it's a bite-sized experience, because I play Ultimate Team offline challenges mainly. I know if I'm going to play multiplayer, I'm going to get thrashed. But there's plenty of stuff to do in Ultimate Team against the CPU, and that's fine with an old fogey like me. I'm going to turn 49 next month. And there's plenty of content for me to unlock out of an Ultimate Team without spending a dime. Probably, even though the calls to action are thick and fast and furious, I'd say that the need to accept them is lower. It's definitely lower than it is in NBA 2K, and I think it's even lower than it is in Diamond Dynasty. So I have a good time in Ultimate Team, and then I go play my career in Face of the Franchise. And if I was playing Franchise itself, I would be player locked to a running back, because this is just the thing I like to do. Rich, you like to play offense only. I like to just run the ball. I feel like, it somewhat diminishes my perception of the passing game when I do it so little. And, you know, I'm doing it in Ultimate Team, and that's usually on a variable difficulty. I play all pro when I'm doing career mode stuff. It does skew my viewpoint there. But if I feel like, and I have felt this way, you know, going back to Madden 15, Madden 16, I felt like, it was Madden 15, right? That wasn't the 25 year, was it? Because we keep coming up on that. I keep wondering how they're going to handle it in 2 years from now.
Yeah, the year 2013 was Madden NFL 25. And in fact, what I should have done is go back and listen to that, because I know, Brian Weed, I brought this issue up 13 years ago, that this was going to be an issue.
I know. It's great. It's like, you know, this is something that has aged well, actually. but anyway, getting back on topic here. I feel like if I can run the ball and the blocking behaves intelligently, and, you know, which is not to say it doesn't make mistakes. They make mistakes in the pros too. But if I am consistently, you know, picking the right plays, recognizing the defense, audibling out of a bad matchup, cutting back, getting outside when I need to get outside, getting inside when I need to get inside, and breaking off these beautiful runs, you know, that has been like what pitching is to me in MLB The Show. It's the thing that I want to do the most. And so when the review's done, I just go back and do that the most. And I enjoy it. And I think, you know, there's a lot of sameness in some of the presentational elements. Which means that there's a lot of skippable presentation, which is not a great thing to say, because I know that, you know, guys like Brian Murphy and the other presentation guys at Madden work very hard on that stuff. But, you know, I think it's just sort of the nature of the beast. I know the NBA 2K, when it launches and it has all of its razzle dazzle historical presentation, people are going to be buttoning through that too. You know, I feel like, you know, my review concentrated on gameplay and tried to de-gimmickify field sense, which is just basically a way of saying, you know, the players are more intelligent and behave more like players do. And you definitely see that in the momentum and in the ability to break off a great run with no modifiers, just steering your player with the left stick alone. And you get real sense of motion and momentum and weight and fake out even without using the juke. And the juke, you know, has always been, you know, I developed power runners because the juke almost never works the way it's supposed to for me. I think, you know, that's where I endorse what you said, Rich, about, you know, I can't deny that I had a fun time with it, or I have a fun time with it because I'm still playing it, obviously. And there's, you know, the role-playing elements can be a little hokey, but hey, you know me, and you know it doesn't really matter what kind of role-play elements you're going to give me. I'm going to give you an emergent narrative no matter what. You know, my big bruising running back, Perseus Oxendine, is on a one-year deal with the San Francisco 49ers, and he's got his eyes on the New York Giants.
Oh, I love everything about that. Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, I can get into that. And I think that they did a sensible thing by taking Face of the Franchise away from the cliche of, here, you're in college and you're the next big thing and every wish is going to be fulfilled and all our dreams are going to come true and all your friends are going to be good too and all that other crap, by, you know, putting in a little bit more of a hard knock storyline, which is, okay, you're trying to get a big contract. You know, that's what you've come into camp to do. I know that you're on a one-year deal coming into this camp, but it's a one-year deal. You're playing for your next year. And so, I appreciated that, and I appreciated that effort there. And I appreciated the acknowledgement that the past two stories were garbage. So, you know, and you know, again, there are some real strange acrobatic catches, and I think – some of that is the system sort of coping with this new targeting ability, but the other thing too is I feel like that the new targeted passing is merely giving me visual feedback to something I was already doing. Like I've always been leading the pass, and you know, trying to throw it here or there or throw it low, although that was a button modifier in years past. And now it's just like, okay, you know, this muscle memory that you have, we're going to show you what it looks like on the screen. So when I pass, I feel like I'm going, oh, okay, I know a little bit more about why that was a bad idea. But it also means that some of the more standard throws, you know, sort of default. It used to be you had all those crazy one-handed catches that nobody should have been making, and they were doing that because Odell Beckham Jr. was on the cover. Now it's like they want to show off that you can pull off a back shoulder throw, and you can have some really weird contortions on the sideline for that. I just saw one in a career game tonight against Minnesota, and it was like, how did Kittle pull that one off? Well, at least they challenged the play, and at least the play was overturned. Woo! So, you know, the game kind of bailed itself out with replay. But, yeah, passing, a little bit of work needs to be done there. But running, I feel great about it.
Brian Widai, what have you done with Madden this year, if anything?
Oh, was that for me? I didn't hear the start. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rich. I've been playing it a little more recently. I stayed away from it at first because we were finishing up in the four string league, now I've gotten more to it. And there are really two things I would focus on. The first is I just find the game really uninspired. If you look at the new features, are features that were in past Madden games that they've apparently just made more effective. Doesn't mean they don't have merit. They do. The passing system, I think, is pretty effective. as we get to more comfortable with it. But coming out before release and saying this is going to be the most polished Madden in a long time, or something similar to that wording. And then it comes out and you've got all sorts of problems, including broken pass blocking, which is just, Rich, you're not going to last a season in our league if the pass blocking isn't fixed. It is inexcusable to have offensive linemen, tight ends, running backs just stand there and watch guys run by them and watch them run around them, and quarterbacks getting sacked within half a second because assignments are just not being attended to at all by these guys. And then high rate of interceptions, which, again, you can put some on a user and some on bad CPU AI. But it's also because the offensive line is busted and you have no time to actually scan the field. So this is like, that has to be patched like immediately. And to come out and say it's going to be the most polished Madden, it's really kind of insulting. So I, you know, that sounds like I'm ripping the game. I don't think it's a terrible game. I think there are issues that, when addressed, this will be a decent game. But there's just nothing here. You know, franchise really didn't advance at all this year either. So there's really not much here to get excited about for me. The game on the field, minus some of those issues with the new passing, is, you know, it does offer something new. And I'm not trying to overlook some of the good that's been done, but it's, you know, we've hit a wall with Madden. Madden hit that wall, and it just feels like if they are making improvements year to year, it's so minimal. It's so minimal. I am not someone who has ever believed in the whole, you know, it's just a roster update thing, and it's not just a roster update, but we're regressing in areas too, not just advancing in areas, but we're regressing like on the offensive line. So that's where I'm at right now with the game. And it's distressing to me to see it like this.
Now, are you just playing franchise? Are you playing ultimate team? What are you spending most of your time?
Yeah. Started franchise, but mostly just play now. And definitely watching a lot of the videos out there as people struggle with some of the issues. So, you know, I don't have enough time to really break down like what I like and what I dislike, other than what I know to be broken already. And so as we play more, like, look, if it wasn't for four string league, I'd have no reason to play this game. That's basically how I look at it. It's probably true of Madden 22 also. Once I started playing in the league.
You know, what's interesting is that that's a fair statement for both of us for completely different reasons, right? Mm-hmm. So, as I said, I played, you know, a full season the way that I want to. And if I didn't have the fourth string league in front of me, I wouldn't automatically press the purchase button. But I wouldn't automatically press the purchase button because I feel negatively about the game like you do. But because if I didn't have a compelling reason to play this game, I just don't have the time to do it. You know, there are this year, for a quick aside, I just within the last 3 weeks started playing NHL 22, which came to, you know, sort of the complete game came unlocked on, again, I believe EA Play via Xbox Game Pass. And I'm like, you know what? I haven't played an NHL game in 3 years of any significance, not because I dislike the NHL franchise, only because, like many people, there's only a few hours a week that I have to play games. And so the reason that I wouldn't have purchased it is not because I didn't like it. It's because there's no time on the calendar for me to play Madden if it wasn't for our league. But I'm making a conscious decision to play in the league, which is why it's an easy purchase for me. It sounds like to me it's not as easy of a purchase for you. It's more of a tortured purchase for you.
Well, it's also habitual. I've played every Madden. You know, it's not like I'm just going
to
skip
it. But you know what? It's easy to stop. And I'm not trying to be whatever, right? But like, again, I missed a couple years of NHL. I missed a couple years of FIFA. And and what it taught me was what it taught everybody, like when the real NHL didn't play for a whole year, or when, you know, during the height of the pandemic, there was no sports, right? Like at,
you
at
can live
end,
without
at
it.
At the end of the day, you can live without any of this stuff. We all can, right? Which is why the people who make these games spend so much time and effort to make sure that you don't ignore them and that you do play them. And when they are so big and so dense and you have so many stakeholders in them, not just yourself, but your, you know, the leagues and the players' associations and the third parties, you know, you're not going to get breakthroughs every year, every 2 years or every 3 years and stuff like that. But, you know, the ultimately with me, the league is a great place for me to be able to experience a little bit of the game. And I know, Brian, that I am going to get lit up because I do not have the desire nor the attention span to learn the new passing system. You know, right when you first boot up the game and it's like, here, do this. Yeah. And I'm like, okay,
let's do this.
And then it's like, oh no, we just got started. Now use the left bumper and the right trigger at the same time and tilt it 33 degrees with the left. And then you can do this. And then it keeps on going with other button combinations. Forget that. No way. I am far too old and far too entrenched to even think about that. Now, the nice thing is I can play the game without doing any of that. But, Brian, you don't think that I'm going to get left bumper, right triggered to death in four string? I'm going to get absolutely annihilated because there are things that other people will be able to do in the game that I will not ever be able to do. It's just not going to happen.
I actually think you could survive. Now, I said you would. You're not going to make it through the first season with the state of the pass blocking. But I actually think because of how your style of play, if you just limit turnovers, if you let the other teams turn the ball over, your opponents turn the ball over, you're going to win a lot of games because people are going to throw three or four pick sixes.
And I'm going to have a decent team. Like on paper, my guys should be pretty good. Like as long as I don't screw it up royally, I should be able to get a couple turnovers a game, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Very good. That is the official 2022 Madden NFL 23 Press Row Podcast Roundtable.
Oof. Wow. Man. Yikes.
Good stuff, boys. All right. So NBA 2K is the best video game there is, in my opinion. And yet somehow, Owen Good, it appears that this year's game is going to be even bigger and even better. I know you've written at least one piece on Polygon about it. You know, talk to us about this. This is going to be something special. And that's saying something with a franchise like NBA 2K, of which I am an unabashed fan in every single way. And once again, all I do is play franchise. That's all I do. And it's so good. So, Owen, talk about this one.
Well, and if all you do is play franchise, then this will probably be the year for you. To back up, you've got two things that are driving a lot of the hype, the pre-release hype for NBA 2K23 right now. And, you know, you just sort of have to take some of this stuff at face value. And then, obviously, when the game comes out, you know, hope that it lives up to that. But if it does, we could have something that's, you know, pretty special, a landmark work, if you wouldn't want to call it that. All three of us here, remember the Jordan Challenge, which itself was, I don't think it was like the anchor of a landmark work in NBA 2K11, but it was definitely a centerpiece. And it was something that, you know, people remembered and enjoyed and wondered why the heck it was only used in 1 year.
I loved that so much.
Sorry, I had to cough there.
No, that's okay. Not only did I love that, but the next year, which I'm sure where you're going next, is the only game that, you know, and it sounds so obnoxious to say this, but in all my years writing reviews for Games Radar and other sites, the only game I gave a 10 was the following year's NBA because I just had the most fun with anything ever with that game.
Yeah, and you know, that had the NBA's greatest historical mode, which again was self-contained. Although out in play now, you could, you know, play a ton of teams, a ton of, you know, great teams, not necessarily the greatest teams, but like, you know, the 1992-93 Charlotte Hornets were in there, and I love that. And what they're doing now is, in addition to presenting a Jordan challenge that's going to be the most polished Jordan challenge ever. There you go, Brian. But it's something that they have really, you know, Mike Wang was on the call talking about all of the very granular things that they have done to player behavior so that it plays like and feels like, you know, the Showtime era in the 80s. And then, of course,
friend of the show, Mike Wang, by the way, has been on the show many times, yeah, actually.
And then also, you know, when you're playing against Detroit and the Knicks in the 90s, you know, if you go to the basket, you are going to really feel that. And then, of course, there's all the presentational elements. And they went and got Mike Fratello to comment, to get in the commentary booth. And, you know, they also put together this package of interviews with all of these luminaries. And as far as I understand, you know, every single one of them said yes, where they sit down and talk about, you know, the 15 moments that you're going to play and their significance and what it was like to be a part of that. And, you know, either to be a teammate of Jordan or face him. And, you know, it's remarkable that they've been able to build a lot of excitement for someone who is so well known and for someone whose feats are so well known. So on that, you know, I've got to give them credit. And then they extend pretty much all of this, these production values and this, you know, commitment to playing historically accurate basketball. We'll have to see how that goes, into My NBA, which is the fourth name of franchise, association, My GM, all that nonsense. Franchise in NBA 2K, you will have the choice of picking four starting points. I believe they're 1983, 1991,
this is so 2000, good.
2002, and then, of course, you can always start in present day.
It's so good. Oh, my God. This is so good.
Right. And as I was telling Chris Plant, our editor-in-chief, who's from – excuse me. I don't know why my throat is getting dry. I hope you can just edit that out. But if you can't, I appreciate the audience's forbearance there. Anyway, Chris Plant, our editor-in-chief, is a big Kansas City fan. And it's like, I looked at this and I thought, wait a minute. If they're starting in 1983, you can keep the Kings in Kansas City. You know, franchise moves can be run back. Brian?
The New Jersey Nets will always be the New Jersey Nets, Owen Good.
If you want to, and Brian, the Sonics will never leave and break your heart for Oklahoma City. Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of – because, excuse me, the reason for that is every year as you advance, and this is according to Eric Benesch, the executive producer, and this was in the call, you're going to be presented with this screen that says, here are all the changes that are coming next year in terms of – divisional realignments, franchise relocations, rules changes, things like that. And you have the option of accepting them or saying, nah, we'll continue the way it was. So you can rewrite history in more ways than just winning or losing basketball games, in more ways than just the Portland Trail Blazers drafting Jordan instead of Sam Bowie.
Nothing, but like I kind of feel like they are, you know, stealing from out of the park baseball with this. This is going too far for a console game, Owen. It's going too far.
I thought a lot about that, you know, especially, you know, because I think I did a story about when out of the park baseball added in all of the minor leagues throughout history and how you could go back through history.
That is an amazing piece, Owen. I love that so much.
Well, it was an amazing piece of work that you guys had done. And you know, but the difficulty there was, will the players develop, you know, in a way that people understand or remember if they're big name players like Mickey Mantle, for example? You know, I mean, how do you develop for Steve Dalkowski, for example? But bringing this over into basketball, you know, you've got the obligation of doing, you know, a full draft that if you draft out of order with your team that you control and, you know, steal a great pick, because you have, you know, amazing farsightedness, the rest of the draft has got to play out logically. So, you know, there's a ton of work that goes into this, and it's hard to shake the feeling that, you know, maybe the past 2 or 3 years, I mean, I'm sure their biggest priority was getting everything set to transition to the newest hardware and make sure that that was, you know, acceptable. I say acceptable. People henpeck NBA 2K as much as they henpeck Madden, believe it or not, which, you know, I think a lot of that frustration is driven by how much money they're expected to spend over in my career or my team. But it is, you know, fair criticism that those modes have changed, but, and I wouldn't say that they've regressed, but they haven't necessarily gotten better. They've just gotten different. But that's going to change this year, especially in my NBA with the historical starting points that you can, you know, start from if you wish, with the multiple commentary teams that are going to be, you know, on these games that you play, with the ability to alter history throughout that, you know, with them bending over backwards to make you feel like to immerse you in this, because, you know, that's also something. I don't know if either of you guys play a lot of Diamond Dynasty, but, you know, you have the moments in that where it's like, what if, and, you know, today's was Catfish Hunter versus Ricky Henderson, and it's Catfish Hunter versus Ricky Henderson in the modern Oakland Coliseum. We're in throwback jerseys, but it's like everything around you reminds you that this is not any kind of, you know, historical or fantasy matchup. And they do this all the time. Visual Concepts is like, we're having none of that. This arena is going to look like it did in 1991 or 1987, you know, or 1983. And it's not just going to be, you know, the D-made Chiron of
Let's go 1983 Meadowlands, baby. Oh, my gosh.
We're going to have to see what Kemper Arena looks like if we're going to really
Spectrum.
Play.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I can't wait to go to the Spectrum.
And, you know, I can't wait to not move mention, the Hornets.
By the way, not to yeah. mention the Boston Garden and Chicago yeah. Stadium, where Bird yeah. and Jordan played the bulk of their yeah. careers.
Yeah, and the Forum, you know, you're going to get Magic. You know, it's funny. I asked Mike, I said, in this call, I said, did you recreate Magic Johnson's length of the court bounce pass? And he immediately answered. He said, yes, we've got that in the game. He said, it took us a hell of a lot of work, both in motion capture and in the animation, but we were able to put that in the game. And I'm like, geez, you know, it's not that deep of a cut, but, you know, people who saw Magic play, who sort of remember, you know, those kinds of zany things that he would pull off, and the fact that he immediately had the answer for it, you know, shows, of course, the depth of his depth of knowledge about how basketball has been played for the past 40 years, and then also his commitment to that. It's gonna, you know, the only thing that I worry about with NBA 2K23 as far as its impact is you, by far, people play my career and my team the most. And those will only be minimally and aesthetically touched by all of this historical stuff that's going on.
Brian. Oh no, go ahead. Hello? Finish your thought.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think you're going to, you know, like travel back in time with your created player. Okay. So it's like the people who are going to enjoy my NBA eras and the Jordan Challenge the most might not be the same people who play my team very competitively.
Of course not. That's me.
Yeah.
I'm that person. That's me. Right. And I don't play any of those other modes. Yes.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, you know, how much is this going to end up, you know, dividing the community, not setting the community against each other?
No, this makes this gives you a lot more potential to get somebody like me over to that other side, because I am going to buy this game because the fact that it's got the Legends and the Jordan Challenge. Like, I'm in,
yeah.
As will many, many, many people be. Without taking a second thought. And if you get some of those folks to then go to the playground, right, and venture to the park, and yeah. I apologize for getting the names wrong, and venture into my team, God bless mm-hmm. you, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's some, you know, speculative value in, okay, we're you know, the Big Ten community, and we're going to try to lead people over to this part of the state fair where they rarely go. Sure. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, I'm excited for this. I'm talking about this as like it could be a mainstream phenomenon, the same way the Jordan Challenge was,
yes.
The same way NBA's greatest
yes.
was.
Yes.
Because when we were writing about the Jordan Challenge and NBA's greatest, those were some of the biggest trafficked articles, not just in sports, but at all at Kotaku when I wrote them. I remember the numbers are gone now, but I remember the numbers. You know, you're talking six-figure views for all of them.
Yeah.
Some help with cross-posting to Deadspin, but that points to the fact that these were big mainstream appeals.
Yep.
And I think what could get in the way of NBA 2K23 having the same impact is simply that the influencers and the folks who really drive a lot of the attention year in and year out will dabble in this, but you know, we'll go and go, yeah, that's nice, but it just doesn't become a sensation for them. But, you know, I guess that's a good problem to have. It's definitely a good problem to have when you're a, you know, consumer in your late 40s who loves sports and wants to go back in time and, you know, can sink a lot of time into this and, you know, remembers appointment television basketball of the 1990s. You know, the fact that they've gone to these links to put this stuff in, you know, like I said, you have to take it at face value that this is a hell of a great thing.
Brian, talk to me about your level of interest, excitement, and expected participation in NBA 2K23.
Yeah, I mean, it is an impressive feat and continuing kind of down that historical path that they've ventured down in the past is really just shows the dedication they have and that it goes beyond. You know, the series gets a lot of criticism for its microtransactions and the way that it influences development, but 2K has never stopped building out areas like the franchise modes, not just mode, over a few years there. And so you have to really respect that. And so, yeah, there's a lot of flexibility with what they offer and a lot to get excited about with those features. And this is what I'm talking about when I compare to some of the other sports games as far as being uninspired. NBA 2K offers a lot of inspiration, really, year to year in most years. Although I'd say the last 2 years maybe lacked it a little bit. But they've never kind of regressed. They've never abandoned what people really wanted out of the series. And so there's a lot to look forward to there. I mean, I'm not excited enough to spend. What's the most expensive edition? Is it $150, something like that?
To get all the extra VC and stuff, it's $99, $100.
Yeah. I'm not doing that. but yeah, I'll be on that. Definitely on day one. And really right now it's NBA 2K to me is, again, if I'm just from a consumer standpoint, it's by far the best, the most well-rounded sports, game. And it's the best value out of all of them, I think, that you can get from it. And you know, that's something I appreciate out of that series.
So if you had allowed me to choose which sports video game genre would have the most interesting competition in 2023,
yeah,
I would not have selected golf. But turns out that's what we're going to get. We are going to get within, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 months of each other, maybe closer. We're going to get two big-time golf games with not only competing names, both of them sporting PGA, I believe, right? But mm-hmm. And then you've got the, you know, the Mario Sonic switching from EA to 2K of Tiger Woods, you know, Tiger Woods, whose name was the hallmark of the EA golf franchise for many, many years. You've got competing licensed courses. You've got EA with the four majors, but you've got 2K with perhaps certainly a significant number of licensed courses. Owen, you know, one of the best articles I think you did in a long, long career writing all sorts of good stuff was when you reported about how the guys, when they were making, you know, the I believe it was to prepare for the first version of Tiger Woods that had the Masters officially licensed, you know, how they laser measured the course and took, you know, great care. You know, Owen, as somebody who has written a lot about golf video games and has spoken to a lot of the people who make those games, I'd love your perspective on this upcoming battle between two licensed golf games.
Well, I mean, it's very fascinating. And you know, it's not just 2K Sports and EA Sports. I mean, you look at, well, Everybody's Golf was 2017, but Clap Hands Golf is a really good golf game. You know, it's basically Hot Shots Golf on your iPhone. That has a huge audience. There was a Mario Golf game last year. There's been all kinds of strange indie games about golf. So for some reason, this sport over the past 5 years has just been having a moment. And whether that's because, you know, the gameplay loop is something that a lot of people get very easily. And I suppose it's easier to develop that because, you know, you're talking about a set piece. You're not talking about guys tackling each other. And, you know, going from there, if you put enough licensing on it, enough polish on it, you know, give it the sim things that people expect, you know, you can have something that is, you know, obviously maybe it's not Madden to a wide sports audience, but it's definitely, you know, the game to get if you're somebody who really, you know, likes golf, who's on the course every weekend, who's watching, you know, tour events in the pro shop. So, you know, as far as the why we have this now, I mean, obviously the why we have this is HB Studios made the golf club and stuck with it and made that into something that was worth 2K Sports Take-Two buying and pulling in-house. And then, of course, with their muscle, you know, getting the PGA Tour aboard. And it's interesting that that's the game that has incumbency. And EA, nobody's ever going to call EA an upstart. And certainly, you know, you're talking about they dusted off their Rolodexes, and obviously they had a relationship with Augusta National that there was, you know, people wondered why they went away, but they were able to restart it. And of course, you know, never underestimate the lure of that golf course and that event, and people wanting to play that on their consoles or PC. What I think is interesting is obviously PGA Tour 2K23 is coming out next month. Next month is 3 days from now. And they are at HB and 2K Sports had to feel a lot of pressure to get that thing out before EA and at a relevant time so that people wouldn't forget about them. Because, you know, if they went head to head with EA launching, especially if EA is going to be around the time of the Masters, they just get wiped out. So, you know, they're trying to at least gain a beachhead and defend it here for the inevitable marketing onslaught when, you know, EA Sports PGA Tour returns. Now, you know, the question is going to be who plays better? And what I have observed in the golf club, and this was in my review of, the golf club PGA Tour 2K21 is, you know, a lot of the early golf clubs. Rich, I know you loved those games, and I don't. And they have a huge audience. And the reason that you know it's a huge and committed audience is because of the course creator, which, you know, is, you know, dare I say, the best user generated content community in sports video gaming, at least for the amount of work that you have to do to build some of these things, whether they're recreations of real courses or really well done, you know, fantasy courses. And they have that, and, you know, EA Sports won't. But what always frustrated with me about those early iterations was just I felt so disconnected from my shot. I felt like, you know, I didn't need laser guided coordinates, to put it on the hole, on the pin every single time. You know, I can turn off assists, but you've still got to give me some sense of, what is my lie feel like? How far to the pin do I have to go? What strength of putt do I have to use here? And PGA Tour 2K21 finally gave me all of those mass audience golf controls that I had wanted all along. And it was a very, very smooth playing game. Had some jitters and hiccups. Presentation was a little bare bones. But MLB The Show has bare bones presentation, and it does just fine. So, it's remarkable that EA has come back in as the challenger here, although they have a great reputation, much better than NBA Live. And 2K has the advantage of incumbency, although that incumbency was built up by somebody who made a golf video game after EA Sports changed their plans and no longer needed them as the contractor to make the last gen Tiger Woods PGA Tour. We'll see what happens. I hope they're both great games. I think the career in PGA Tour 2K23 will probably be the area that compares worst to whatever EA Sports launches. But there's no denying that it's a complete PGA Tour experience. It just lacks, the majors, and those have to be generic events and that sort of thing. But as far as feeling like you're a golf professional, I'm sure it'll do great. So that's my long-winded analysis.
Brian, what are you more interested in the golf competition ahead? And which do you think is ultimately going to come out ahead, if either?
Yeah, this is an interesting head-to-head base off we got here with these golf games, because you have traditionally, I think, what used to be the Tiger Woods series from EA, which went through a couple different names there, but it is thought of as a more friendly, not arcadey, but kind of straddles the line between arcadey and simulation, and they certainly throw some arcadey type modes in there. It's meant to reach a wide group of consumers. And then you have what began as the golf club and became PGA Tour and 2K, which is very much a simulation, very much grounded. And we, in the past, have used the word punishing, right? And so it's not really directed at like a casual crowd, but bringing in Tiger Woods, putting him on the cover, that changes the game, certainly for a lot of people, and is going to bring a lot more attention to the 2K golf series. There's a reason I can't talk about some of the stuff with 2K, but I will say the addition of the three-click swing is, again, that's a huge, huge deal, not just for people who weren't really satisfied with the stick swinging, but also for people who have played those past games that have featured it. That makes a big difference. So then you look at the release dates. I think EA has a favorable release date instead of releasing this fall when they release next spring. So that's another factor. Obviously coinciding with the Masters there in Augusta and having those certain courses. But we don't really know what EA's game is going to offer beyond that yet. But as far as just squaring up the two of them and which one fits my preferences, it's the Tiger 2K23 from what we know right now. But sure, that can obviously shift over the months ahead.
I'm a huge fan of the franchise, as Owen already said, in all its iterations. And again, this show being what it is, we have had multiple guys from that franchise on this show many times in the past. And I'm also, a big fan of what EA's golf used to be. I am really glad for both. I tell you, as me being the person that I am, I really love the opportunity to play in the four majors with the real majors at the real courses. I don't know ultimately if that's going to have a major, if it's ultimately going to be a difference maker, but to me that definitely just really makes me want, you know, if I had to pick, and of course I'll play both, but if I had to pick, I love knowing that if with the EA game I'll be able to play at the British Open and the PGA Championship and the Masters and the US Open at the real places. That to me is interesting. The other thing that's interesting is LIV Golf going to enter the video game space?
I can't see a publisher wanting to partner.
But they don't need a publisher. They could do it all themselves. Well,
that's true. That's true.
So I'm interested to
see. God, I hope not. That's all I got to say there. God,
I mean, like, you know, they there's no barrier to entry when you have that kind of financial resource. And I'm interested. To me, it's probably not, because the revenue is a rounding error compared to any other revenue in the sport. It's unlikely, but it'll be interesting, because whether or not you can appreciate what a game can do for your brand, there's no doubt that a video game has impact. And, you know, especially nowadays because of live streaming and those kind of things. So it'll be interesting to me whether anything happens in that space.
Well, if they did it, it would be, they'd write it off as a marketing expense. And obviously because, you know, the revenue behind this, they don't care. But they would do it like just to appear like, you know, they were shoulder to shoulder with the PGA on this many things.
And whether they make a game or not, it's going to affect these two games, because there are golfers that were going to be in these games that had to be pulled.
That's true, but I maintain that people play these things not for the golfers that are in. I mean, the rosters are nice, having especially to have opponents on your leaderboard that you recognize, sure. But people don't play as those guys the way they play as the Jets, the Giants, Maple Leafs, whoever. I mean, I don't think that's going to be as big a deal.
That's interesting, and I believe that too. But if there has been a call for anything in the golf club and the recent years of the PGA 2K game, if you look at social media, at the very least, the thing that people ask for the most is the ability to play as pros. And I don't understand it. I don't really think, even going back to the Tiger Woods days a decade plus ago, that was a big factor in it. I didn't think so at the time, but for whatever reason, people ask for that. And I know that was one of their most requested features.
If you say so. I'm a little surprised, but yeah, I mean.
So Brian, before we go, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the latest with college football on a console. Mm-hmm. Talk to us. What's happening? What do we have to look forward to? What's the latest information?
Yeah, well, ever since the you know, it was officially announced that EA was bringing college football back, you know, they targeted July 2023. As far as we know, that is still on track. I mean, it is possible it gets pushed another year. It probably won't. But again, this is a game that's being built off, just like in the past, built off the Madden engine and tweaked to fit a more college style play. And so they're not starting this. There's a whole lot to build with this game, obviously. We've talked about it many, many times. But they aren't exactly starting from scratch. And they've definitely been preparing for this moment. How they are going about licensing the players to appear in the game, I'm not sure of yet, because we still don't have like a players union, which is what I thought they would wait on. If they're doing it individually and contacting every single player, that's a lot of players. That's a lot of paperwork to do. But that certainly could be happening, whether they're offering money, whether they're offering free games, you know, I don't know, but, then you're going to end up with a mishmash of, some players on each team being real and some not. But yeah, I mean, we don't know a whole lot about it. I mean, I saw like exclusive, EA's college football game will have dynasty mode. Like, yeah, we know it's going to have players on the field. We know that. We don't really have any idea of what new they're building out. And I believe I read that maybe Ultimate Team won't make it for this first year. I don't know. I would think they'd get that in there, which they, you know, the NCAA 14 had Ultimate Team and we actually liked it, surprisingly enough. But yeah, there's, you know, we've got that next year, and maybe we've got an NFL 2K arcade game next year, which keeps getting pushed also. It's there's still a lot of uncertainty around all of this and where the games are going to end up. And but everybody, you know, look, everybody's going to love this college football game for about 2 weeks, and then we're going to get complaints. it has been a literal decade between releases. So I understand the excitement, but we'll see where that goes.
Very quickly, to add to that, I know that, you know, nobody really understands how they would do a group license or license players or what that looks like, but let's also like acknowledge that maybe this video game is the test case, is the first case of a group license for college athletes on any mm-hmm. scale. You know, and what they're working on now is something that's either through the conferences, the schools themselves, the CLC, where it's like, hey, everybody sign this piece of paper and you get $400 mm-hmm. and that's how they take care of it. But I don't know the law. I don't know anything about that, but just because there's no licensing architecture for college players doesn't mean that this isn't how it's, you know, that's because it's being built here and we'll see it when this game comes out. I don't know. That's hopeful, but we'll see.
College football is, as we are talking right now, I believe two longtime Pac-12 schools just announced that they're going to the SEC, right? Like, it's changing so quickly. I don't even know how you could line up. It was a joke.
Well, Ryan, yeah, those changes, like the conference changes, those aren't happening until, I think, 2025, so it wouldn't actually matter yet. But they'll have to build that out, actually.
My point is that the legal and functional infrastructure of college football is changing, and it's going to be doing a lot more changing in the next 2 to 3 years than it will be not changing, right? You know, we know what's coming. If you're paying any attention to college football, what's coming is a completely new league that is separate and wholly owned and operated, featuring 30 to 50 of the top schools in the country that has nothing to do with anything else except maybe college basketball, right? And they'll tie the college football championship playoffs and March Madness into a probably the first $1 trillion rights deal. Like, that's what's coming. So trying to put this together from a licensing perspective is going to be problematic. That's all I'm saying. It's going to be problematic.
I'll be fine with that Super League if they have promotion and relegation. You know, like if
they might,
you know,
if
UCLA goes 4-7, they have to play in the Mountain West.
That would work. Like if there's any American sports institution that would work, it would be collegiate basketball and football, Owen. Like, that's a great point. There's like professionally, it doesn't work, but collegially that could work.
Be careful what I wish for, because that could put NC State in the Colonial Athletic Association.
Yeah. But in which they would dominate and they go right back up. You know, they'd be like a yo-yo club in the Premier League, you know?
It'd be like the Norwich of
exactly. Owen busting out the Premier League / championship knowledge. Well done, sir. Well done. All right. This was a lot of fun. We could have done another hour. Why don't we do this again soon, guys? Like, this was great. I enjoyed this. Brian, I mean, other than the fact that you don't like anything, I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Thanks, Rich. Yes, absolutely. I love, let me bounce back, because I did post a poll earlier on our little brief debate, are we at an all-time low or all-time high in sports gaming? 86.7% say all-time low.
Of course.
I've taken you down, Rich.
No.
This is like one of those robo push polls, you know, that's out there to poison the well before the election.
He's got, you know, completely leading people along, you know, is this absolutely the worst time or sort of the worst, or is it okay? And they're like, well, geez, I mean, you know,
it was framed fairly, Rich.
I know. I'm messing with you. That's fine. Look, that's the narrative. That's what you're pushing. It is, that's what you're pushing, Brian. I get it. I'm just pushing against it. That's all.
It's fair. It's fair.
All right, you two. Knock it off.
All right. So, Brian, when you do post your thoughts and feelings and accusations, where can people find you and see what you're doing?
In person. At Twitter, Pasta Padre. I don't post as much on there as anymore. I'm always reading, though, so feel free to send me your thoughts. I love getting notifications lighting up my phone.
Nice. Owen Good, our good friend. So great to talk to you again. I hope you want to join us again in the near future, you know, especially around when NBA and FIFA are out. Like, we should do this again. Where can people see all the good stuff you're doing out there in the world, sir?
Well, obviously, Polygon, polygon.com. And I'm on Twitter, not as active as I used to be there, too. And usually act more active on subjects other than video games, but I'm Dude Man Best Bro One, which, of course, there's a long story behind that.
Which has been told on this show as well. It has been told.
But we'll save that for another podcast.
I love it. All right. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You know, 13, 14, 15, 16 years later, we are still here doing this. And I know that more than a few of you out there listening right now have been with us since the very beginning. I know that for a fact. We can tell. Like, it says it in the numbers. Like, oh, you know, several hundred of these people have listened to every episode. That, to me, is amazing, and I appreciate it. And we'll do it again. They didn't tell us your name or anything. Don't worry about that. It's not that bad. They just they let us know, like, you know, aggregate stuff, which is really cool. So,
oh boy. So.
All right. Thanks, everybody, as always, for listening. We appreciate it. We'll be back again soon. Cheers, and enjoy your sports video games.